Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency, and in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories. Promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/IFSTORIES, promo code IFSTORIES10. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Everybody, and welcome to episode 230 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today I'm here with David Honeyman. David lives in Newbury, which is in the UK, and it is 5 miles from the location of Downton Abbey. So all of us who have watched that series, I've watched it twice. Before we started, David told me that anytime someone comes to visit, they always want to go to see Downton Abbey, and I would be the same. He is in IT development and management, but now is transitioning to a new role as a health coach, which I can't wait to talk about. So welcome, David.
Thank you, Jen. It's great to be here. Looking forward to our chat.
Well, you know, I love to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting and when was that?
Yeah, sure. I'll take you back to 2015 then for the what brought me here. Before then, I hadn't heard of intermittent fasting at all. So 2015, this was a particular moment in my life. It was like the light bulb moment that we speak about, the eureka moment. So for my job in IT, I travel to different clients in different European countries, different European cities. And that's been a regular occurrence up until the pandemic, obviously, when that had to stop. So, you know, I would travel to Paris, Rome, Munich, wherever, to visit clients. This particular time in 2015, I was in Vienna. What a great city. I'm sure that many of your listeners will have been, or if they haven't, then they should go. It's a beautiful place. I come in Vienna to visit one of my clients, one of my employer's clients. And naturally enough, then the employer pays for me to have an expensed hotel. Very nice, you know, 5-star hotel. I stay there one or two nights and go see the clients. So this particular hotel, as normal, they offer a wonderful meal, evening meal. It's all expensed, paid for. You can't refuse it. It's such a lovely meal, top class, three-course meal, wine, all that stuff. I might have sometimes a colleague with me, sometimes I'm alone. I was alone on this particular trip. Yeah, that's all great. You know, take advantage of that. Very nice. Next morning, what happens? You wake up, go downstairs, restaurant, and the table is groaning. How can you refuse?
I know. I mean, that is really, if it's a great hotel breakfast and it's included, that's a struggle for a lot of people. How do you say no to a delicious included breakfast, right?
Exactly. It would be, you know, not polite to turn it down. So, of course, I would go in and have the breakfast. I'm not talking about coffee and croissant either. We're talking, you know, the full range, because it's exquisite, exotic stuff that I wouldn't normally eat at home. And so that's what happens in hotels. So I didn't need any of that food, did I, from the previous meal last night? And I kind of knew that. I don't really need this, but okay, I'll have to eat it. Not so much of a hardship, especially some of the hotels in Italy where I've been to, like the breakfast is more like a work of art, really.
I can imagine.
And, yeah. Anyway, so I had the breakfast, and then, of course, then you've got to get in the taxi, go and get ready, get in the taxi, let's go see the client. So turn up at the client's place, it's a big office, and they're waiting for me. And, you know, they've been expecting my visit, they're expecting big things so that they can influence their relationship with my employer, and they want to know some stuff. Show me in. Hello, Mr. Honeyman. Oh, please come in. Bonjour, monsieur. Buongiorno. Please sit down. Oh, so nice to see you. You must have a coffee. Okay. Oh, and we have some special treats for you. We've got some Viennese whirls, some fancies. Sure you'd like one of these. I'm like, okay. Oh, okay. Well, I can't really turn this down. It was just a way of life. But I wasn't even thinking, this is terrible. This is just the way it is. And this is a normal visit, nothing untoward so far. On this visit that sticks in my mind, really stands out, was the hotel room. So here I am the next morning and wake up, go into the hotel bathroom and for a shower, etc. And in this particular bathroom, there was a wall-to-wall mirror. Wall to wall, you know, like, wow, that's quite impressive. Not that I noticed it at first, but I'm standing ready to get in the shower and I happen to take a glance at myself. Just that's because that's how the room was positioned. And my reaction to myself was surprising because my instant reaction was, look away. I must look away.
What's wrong with this mirror?
And I thought, wow, I've looked away. Why have I looked away? And of course, I've looked away because I know subconsciously that I'm overweight. Not only that, I don't like it.
That's funny that you mentioned that and you tell that story, because you've probably heard me talk about the cruise that I took in 2014. That was my rock bottom with my weight moment. There was a big mirror in that bathroom as well. And I had a very similar moment. We were in a suite. It was really nice suite. We had a fancy bathroom on that cruise and big, big mirror, same exact thought. And then it was the photos from the cruise that really did me in. But I had that same mirror moment. So I totally get it.
Okay. Well, you know, it kind of struck me and I was dismayed to say the least, not just because I knew I was overweight, but because of my reaction. I thought, what is wrong with me? Surely I know that my years are advancing. By this time, I was in my late 50s. And what do you expect? To myself. But I thought, no, I expect more than this. I don't expect to just get older and to gain weight. I don't accept this. What can I do? I've no idea what I can do. Maybe I've got to eat less. You know, the usual reaction, I'll have to eat less, I suppose. I don't know how I'll do it. But that was the moment. So what happened subsequently? Came home, came back to work, went into the office. There was a colleague, a lady there, a colleague who I knew quite well from work. We hadn't ever kind of spoken much socially, but it was pretty obvious to anybody that she had significantly reduced her weight and she was looking very well indeed. And I thought, you know what, I'll just have to ask her. And the coffee machine, there she was. Well, I said, hi, and paid her a compliment. You're looking really well. But may I ask, you look as if you've lost a little bit of weight. You know, I'm just kind of playing it down. How have you managed that? And she said to me those two immortal words. She just said, intermittent fasting.
Wow. I love it. It's hard to ask somebody that, isn't it? You're like, you know, I remember I've told this story on the podcast as well. My coworker, who was a male, that after I lost 75 pounds, he was like, did you lose a little weight? Forgive me for asking. He wasn't sure. I was like, yes, 75 pounds. But I, you know, just he wanted to acknowledge, I guess, that I had changed, but he didn't want to offend me, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that's but, exactly so she how said, I was. Yeah.
She said intermittent fasting.
Yeah, that's right. And I'd never heard of it. And I'm like, excuse me, what? And then she then proceeded to explain to me what she was doing, which was based on the 5-2 diet by Michael Mosley. So I'm like, okay, that sounds interesting, but fasting put me off. The word fasting put me off, like fasting, that sounds pretty severe. But she said, well, look, it's not that bad. 5 days, you can eat whatever you want. For 2 days, you're down to 500 calories. I think it was 600 in my case because I'm male.
Yeah, but I think men get a little bit of that extra 100 calories.
Yeah. I thought, okay, great. And she said, you should try it. Come on. Not that she was referring to my weight, but I knew I was overweight and unhappy. And so she encouraged me. So I thought, okay, I better get the book. So I got the book. Gets the book and read the Michael Mosley book. And sure enough, I thought, you know, that sounds doable. I can do that. And I determined, I think within a couple of days, I'm going to start. Okay, this is the day. I'm going to start tomorrow. And how am I going to do it? And I planned it out. I worked out how many calories would be in, I don't know, a couple of boiled eggs, I think it was, to start.
140.
Breakfast.
Isn't it funny that I know that? Two boiled eggs
is
140.
Right. You're right.
I it know. out of my brain, egg 70, which is so funny because, I mean, every egg is not 70 calories, I'm sure, but that's the number we've got.
Yeah, sure. So I knew I decided I would start this, but I distinctly remember the evening before I went to sleep, and I knew I was going to be doing it. And you know what? I felt scared. I was like, how am I going to do this? I've never done this in my life before.
So you had never dieted or done any kind of, yeah.
No. Not that I'm an overweight guy. You know, I've never had severe issues with weight. At that time, I then thought, well, I better start weighing. So I weighed myself that day before, and I was like 84 kilograms. So what's that in pounds? It's like 185 pounds. And I'm 5 foot, like 5'9", 5'10". It's not severe, but it's still enough that I'm concerned. But I distinctly remember feeling like scared. How am I going to do this? Sure enough, I did it the first day and I thought, okay, I've managed. It's fine. I can do that. And I've got to do this 2 days per week. And you know what? I went on to that lifestyle. I did it. And I probably followed that for 18 months. But I'm a kind of data kind of guy. I know that a lot of people, including yourself, are not scale people. I love the scales. And I'll go on a scale every morning.
I did use the scale as a tool, of course, my entire weight loss journey and for the whole first year of maintenance, just to see that I could do it. And I only stopped when I started to have dieting thoughts. Whenever my weight would fluctuate upward, I would get panicked and want to, I was like, now I need to diet. And then I was like, well, but it all weight. That was the only reason I stopped, is I couldn't handle the fluctuations of maintenance. So
right,
I'm not anti-scale. I just can't do it now.
No, I understand. Yeah, that's fine. For me, it works great. But anyway, I thought I'll get on the scale and I'll write a spreadsheet and I'll start recording this. And I'll just see what happens, because I wasn't really convinced, because I thought, hang on, for 5 days, I'm going to be stuffing myself, right? Because I'll be so hungry.
And that's not what happened, right?
That's not what happened. I just ate normally for the 5 days. For the 2 days, yeah, it was a challenge. I could do it. It wasn't as if it was difficult, but I did not like those days. I'll start with a couple of eggs. And then I used to plan a reduced calorie meal that I would get from the store. And it would tell you on the front of the packet, this is like total 300 calories or whatever, or even less, actually less than that. And I knew that that was my evening meal and there was going to be nothing else. I could manage it. Sure enough, the weight started coming off. And I was utterly amazed. I went, wow, I weigh less. I can't believe it. I wasn't too happy with the days. And the reason I wasn't happy with the days is because when you restrict calories, you feel miserable. Now, is that miserable because it's emotional, or is that miserable because of your metabolic state? Possibly both. But yeah, I wasn't too happy. In fact, it wasn't just miserable. I was cold. I was cold, and I was probably, you know, I would feel kind of tired as well. So overall, it wasn't great. But I thought, you know what? It's working. I'm writing this spreadsheet, and I kept looking at the spreadsheet thinking, wow, this is amazing.
If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study. These days, achieving my health and wellness goals is more about making healthy habits that stick and less about quick fixes. And that's why I love Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest takes care of the planning, prep, and cleanup by delivering my favorite veggie and fruit-packed options straight to my door. Yesterday, I had a sweet potato and wild rice hash harvest bowl to open my window, then a great dinner with Chad later on, and then I had an apple and spiced oat bite to close. I'm going to have to start hiding those from Chad because he loves them too. Not really. The solution is simply order more. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time, go to dailyharvest.com/ifstories to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/ifstories for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/ifstories.
Sharing the figures with a friend saying, look at this. Just one person I was sharing this data with. So look at this is coming off. And I remember getting down to 76 kilograms. That's probably like 165 pounds.
Yes, I'm doing the math here. I have my Google out. So let me see. You said 76. So that would be, oops, that's 167 pounds. By that point, you had lost about 20 pounds. For our American pound people, 84 kilograms at the beginning is 185 pounds, and you got down to 76 kilograms, which is 167 pounds.
Yeah, no, that was just midpoint. I was going to go lower, but at that point, for some reason, I thought, wow, 70. I think it's because it was 20 pounds. And I'm like, that's incredible. And I was feeling it in my clothing sizes. You know, I started having to tighten my belts, and I think I probably had to buy some new clothing because the other didn't quite fit. It was too big. So that was all good news, and I was very happy with that. So I kept on doing it. And in fact, I got right down to 72 kilograms, which I think is about 158 pounds. But that's in like a year and a half. But I was still feeling miserable. In fact, what happened was I read the book. I think I reread the Michael Mosley book, listened to some of his podcasts. I kept thinking, I can't keep doing this the rest of my life. I don't want to. It's making me miserable. I don't like this.
You didn't like those 2 days a week. Those 2 days a week just were not feeling good.
That's right. Not happy at all. So then Michael Mosley spoke about, well, you can do maintenance. You can drop it to 6-1. I'm like, yay, I can go to 6-1. And so I thought, well, I'll do that. I'll go to 6-1. It's maintenance at least. And by this time, I'd got down to 72, 158 pounds. I thought, I'll be happy with that. And so I go to maintenance. But you know what? Psychologically, at that point, I gave up. Maintenance sounds great, but I didn't really. It was half-hearted. And I got to some weeks, I thought, I can't be bothered with that one day. I'm just going to eat normally. I just gradually abandoned it, really, which I think is the case with all diets, which are really calorie restricting.
Yeah. I want to pop in there for anyone who's not ever read Michael Mosley's work. I actually followed 5-2 Michael Mosley style back in the day as well. And there's no mention about, of course, clean fasting, and it's only restricting the calories. And if you do it that way, the Michael Mosley way, you really are, quote, allowed to have anything you want during those what he calls the fasting days. We refer to them now in the intermittent fasting community as down days. But during those down days, those 2 days a week, you could have diet sodas, you could have anything zero calorie you wanted, and you could even like start with like one boiled egg at 8 a.m. and eat another boiled egg. I mean, you could like stretch out the 500 calories. Little did we know or realize that all those things made it harder and made it miserable. If you were just fasting clean, it's actually so much easier. But it just, when you're doing that, you really are doing a low calorie diet 2 days a week. He calls them fasting days, but they're basically just a low calorie diet because you're not fasting clean. And it was hard. I remember the same thing, how hard it was. And you white knuckled it. And then you get to the point where like, I hate this. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think you're absolutely right. It was very hard to do. I was hungry and wanted to eat. I'm sitting at my desk at work thinking, I've got to eat, but I was forcing myself not to do so. And of course, my work colleagues are saying to me, oh, you know, they were bringing in sandwiches or some cakes, one special days. And I'm like, oh, I can't, and then it would become a joke in the office. Oh, he can't have any cake. He's not eating. I'm like, oh, sorry, guys. I'm really downcast. But it worked, you know, so I got down to the 72, but then the maintenance kind of floated away. And then for the next 2 years, I think I just abandoned it, but I just thought I'll try to be good and not gain too much weight and eat sensibly. But I was still eating breakfast and mid-morning snack and all that stuff. And of course, then the weight just gradually came back on, which eventually alarmed me because I got back, I think, to 78 kilograms. I thought, you know, this is just going to go back to where it was. I've got to do something else. What on earth can I do? Now, at this point, I think the previous lady who advised me wasn't with the company anymore. Couldn't ask her. So I thought, well, you know, I just have to do some more research. But I know that Michael Mosley had talked about intermittent fasting, but I didn't know where to go. But I went on the internet to have a look. And the very first one I found was a book by Terence Keeley. And the book is called Breakfast is a Dangerous Meal.
I've never heard of this book.
Right. I just came across it. And I looked at the title and I thought, how ridiculous. That's not a dangerous meal. That is completely, I think I bought it just to read it to see what kind of lunacy this guy was talking about. Because I was definitely a breakfast guy. You know, not that I eat a big cooked breakfast, but I, you know, I'm of Scottish descent and I love porridge.
Right.
Porridge is my thing.
Yeah.
Gotta have porridge.
We're Scottish too, by the way, my family. I'm a Calhoun.
Oh, marvelous. How good to know.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Which part of Scotland are you from?
Now, I can't remember. Wherever the Calhouns were, that's where we're from. I've looked it up before, but I can't remember off the top of my head. I've never been there, but I would love to come and visit. I didn't understand. I just learned recently. I had always heard we were Scotch-Irish, and I thought that meant mixture of Scottish and Irish. But then my stepmother just told me recently, no, that means that you were Scottish and then the family went to Ireland for a while before coming to America. And I'm like, oh, well, that makes more sense. So Scottish-Irish is really Scottish anyway.
Okay. Just a little tip there. Scottish is correct. Scottish is correct, but you can't say Scotch because that's a drink.
Okay. Well, in America, we just say all kind of things wrong, I'm sure. I think we say Scotch-Irish. I think we do, but that would be wrong. I guess a Scotch-Irish would then be an Irish person who likes to drink scotch.
That's correct.
Okay.
Who knows? But I did live in Edinburgh for a while in my life and worked there and researched my family tree. Yes. Yeah, so we're all from Fife, which is north of Edinburgh.
So Breakfast is a Dangerous Meal was the book you were reading.
Yeah, I have it. In fact, I've got it here on my Kindle, yeah. I got it to think, well, how can that be? I love porridge. I'm not going to give that up. In fact, I would often go to have porridge at the store near my office. You know, I'd have porridge with honey, porridge with blueberries.
Is that what we call oatmeal when you say porridge?
Yeah.
Okay. It is. I thought so.
That's exactly what that is, yeah. I can just show you a little bit about that book. In the foreword, this was saying that breakfast damages us in at least four ways. He talks about it increases your calories that you eat in the day. It provokes hunger pangs. And that's true. You know, I would eat the porridge, but by 10 o'clock, I'm sitting at my desk thinking, wow, I'm hungry. And I'd probably eat some sweet biscuits or something with a coffee because I'm just feeling like hungry and it's 10 a.m. Thirdly, breakfast aggravates the metabolic syndrome, which is a different topic, of course, but it's all about how healthy or how risky is your health if you've got metabolic syndrome? Are you at risk of type 2 diabetes, heart disease, dementia, all that stuff? And then also you made the point that if you eat breakfast, then that's generally a carbohydrate-laden meal. And of course, that's what porridge is. Oats, it's absolutely carbohydrates, as well as putting the sugar with it, with the honey. So I read that, and you know what? At the end of it, I thought, well, okay, I'll have to agree with him. All right, it's dangerous, in which case I'm going to have to cut breakfast. How am I going to do that? Because that means I can't eat porridge anymore. But let's do some more reading. In fact, that's where I came across the first work by yourself. Now, I don't mean your book, Delay, Don't Deny. I do have that one. But I came across a book by Ryan Kim Smith.
Okay, Unbelievable Freedom.
Absolutely. That's the one. I believe you wrote the foreword of that book. And I first saw that. And on the front of the book, they have a before and after picture of the two of them. And like everybody else, you think, no, that's not the same people.
They really do. They were transformed, weren't they?
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. And I thought, well, look, I'm not as overweight as that. You know, my highest weight has been 185 pounds. But nevertheless, if they can get down to be looking fabulous in like that, that's really how I want to look. And so I got that book and I read your foreword and I read their whole story and I was quite amazed by that. And really, that's then now cementing my journey into real intermittent fasting, because I then got your book, Delay, Don't Deny. Like everybody else, loved the title, because here you're telling me and everybody else, look, don't deny. And I'd been denying on those two down days, and I knew I didn't like it. I don't want to deny. So what's this idea about delaying? Okay, let's have a read of that. So there we go. That's my story of how I came to intermittent fasting.
I love that. I loved hearing the whole thing because, you know, a lot of us tried that 5-2 and it got us, like, we got the idea of what fasting was, but then it just wasn't quite right in execution. And now we understand why.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Can I tell you what's happened since then?
Absolutely.
Here I am now back at 76, or was it 78? On my way back up, I then read Unbelievable Freedom, but then I read the method which you outlined in Delay, Don't Deny. By the way, since then, I've got your other books, Fast, Feast, Repeat, and Feast Without Fear. I've read that one as well. I've got The Cleanish, but I haven't read that one yet. And other books that I came across, Jason Fung's, Life in the Fasting Lane. And he co-wrote that with Eve Meyer and Megan Ramos. Elizabeth Moore wrote about OMAD. So I read all of these and I thought, this is something I can do because I want to see these benefits. I do want to understand how I can lose weight, but not feel as if I'm denying myself. So clearly put out there in your book that message. So since then, I thought, I can do that. Let's start. Started doing that. So I started doing that when I was on at 78. Now, what do you think's happened since? That was probably, let's say, 18 months ago I started that. And I've been astonished at how much weight I've lost.
Wow.
Not that I have lost, you know, 100 and so pounds like some people have. What I currently am, and what I was this morning, was just over 63 kilograms, which is like 139 pounds.
Wow. 63. Okay. That's dramatic. When you were doing 5-2 before, you know, yeah, it rounds to 139 pounds. So you had gotten as low as about 159 with 5-2, but it was hard and you hated it. And now you're 20 pounds lower than your lowest with that, and you don't hate it.
Exactly. And that's why I'm saying I'm astonished. I did not expect to then drop further. I thought, let me get back to 72. That would be great. Well, sorry, in pounds, you know, whatever, 158. I'm now 139.
Wow.
The great thing for me is it's not that I'm thinking I'm underweight. I know I'm not. Okay, I look slim now. It makes me happy. I can do this every day, and it's a lifestyle. I can do it. In fact, it's not a matter of it being so easy. It's a matter of, well, I want to do this.
Yeah.
Absolutely want to do this.
Your body type is slim. It's not underweight for you. Chad is the same way. I don't know how much he weighs. I wouldn't be surprised if it was something like 139. I have no idea how much he weighs. We don't even have a scale, but he's taller than you, but he's really, really lanky and always has been. That's just his body type. But it feels right. Your body doesn't just keep losing and losing and losing. Once you find the rhythm that feels right, you get somewhere and you stop.
That's right. So people ask me, of course, people are noticing, friends are saying, oh, you're losing weight. Are you okay? Are you feeling okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm absolutely fine. In fact, I've never felt better, to be honest. And they say, well, are you sure that have you lost enough? Are you going to gain a bit more weight? I always say, look, my body is telling me, and I am actually reaching my optimum weight. Optimum isn't just a figure I pluck out of the air. Optimum weight is what I know my body is telling me. I can feel that.
It's true.
I can see that. And to be honest, even at 139, I've got a little bit more to go because I've got a little bit of visceral fat around the middle. It's not very much at all, but I know that will go just by maintaining my lifestyle of intermittent fasting, which is what I want to do anyway. I know that will gradually, even if it takes another year, I think I'll probably lose another 4 or 5 pounds from the middle, and I'll be happy with that.
Let's backtrack just a little bit. When you first started with the daily eating window approach, what did you start with and how has that evolved over time?
The daily eating window was initially just to cut the breakfast. And so at work, you know, the British thing at work is to go and get a sandwich with whatever's inside, meat, cheese, ham, whatever. Most people will buy that from the local store, eat that as well. Then I would come home and cook a meal, and I may even have a snack after the meal later on. Healthy stuff, and yes, I'm achieving intermittent fasting, but I'm not breakfasting. I was reading more and more. I had the books by Jason Fung, and I was looking at the podcast, listening to your podcasts, and looking at YouTube videos, etc. And I realized that one option that could possibly work for me would be to go to OMAD.
Right. A one meal a day approach. Yeah.
One meal a day. And I thought, you know what? I probably could do that. I'm not even sure I need that sandwich that I'm eating at lunchtime. And it's bread. It's carbohydrates. And by this time, I'm getting the idea that I don't really need these carbohydrates. So why don't I just cut it? And why don't I try the approach that's outlined by Jim? And I'll just take a black coffee for lunch. So that's what I did. And lo and behold, I felt fine. I thought, well, I don't feel hungry. I feel fine. I didn't even feel like I'm missing lunch. So by now, I'm missing breakfast and lunch. Just taking coffee, but I'm also taking tea, mint teas, that kind of thing at work, plus just carbonated water, etc. And not feeling deprived at all. But by the time that 3 o'clock came around at work, or perhaps 4, I would say, look, you know, I do need something. One of my favorite ways to open which is now a small window, is I take milk kefir.
Okay.
So fermented milk. And I'm really into fermentation. You know, I do at times eat sauerkraut and kimchi as well. But this was a great way to open one window. And I still do that every day.
That's great. Yeah, that's really good for the gut. I would imagine if I were working outside the home and having like a little sandwich that I got somewhere, that would actually make me hungrier for the rest of the day.
Yeah, wouldn't it just? Yes,
it would me, absolutely. I would be hungrier having a little, you know, kind of like that Breakfast is a Dangerous Meal book, how he talked about how it, you know, just gets you started for the cravings and wanting to eat more. That would be exactly what would happen if I had a sandwich midday.
Yeah. I mean, I recall some years ago before I started this, I visited my friend in North Carolina and we were out and about and I think it was lunchtime. And he said, okay, let's grab some lunch. And he said, we're going to Subway. and I was like, what's Subway? So it's great. And he brought me out this like 1 foot long bread thing.
Stuffed with stuff.
And I remember eating it thinking that is way too much bread.
That's a lot of sandwich right there, a whole foot long.
Yeah. But it's the same thing in UK. People will eat sandwiches. So that was my decision to drop that. And I found it really quite easy. So by this time, I'm transitioning to OMAD and reading about OMAD. I realize that a lot of people are doing a window. A lot of people are saying, my window is, let's say, 12 until 6, which is what I had been doing with the sandwich and then the main meal. But I thought, I'll cut this and I'll take it to 3 till 6 because I'll open it with kefir. And then once I get home, I'll have food prepared and I'll eat that. So essentially, I came up with a 3-hour eating.
Okay.
Which is what I'm maintaining to this day. And to be honest, I probably couldn't even do it any other way. It just feels perfectly normal to me. Feels great. I feel happy. I don't feel hungry outside of those hours. Open the window. I think it's great. I'm going to have some food. And the best thing is when I explain to my friends, look, this is, because people can get worried. And I say, look, I eat nutritionally dense food. I probably eat as many calories as you do, if not more. I make sure I eat whole foods. I eat very well. There's no starvation. There's no denying. I'm really having great nutrition. But guess what? The side effect is weight loss.
Right, right. The fact that you're keeping your insulin low throughout the day, your body's able to tap into your fat stores as needed, and you're feeling great, and you have the great energy, and then you eat, you put the nutrition in, and you're not deprived. And that's the part that people don't understand. They equate, you know, an eating window with eating less or starvation or being, you know, feeling of deprivation, but it doesn't feel like that at all.
No, that's right. Exactly. In fact, you mentioned their energy, right? And this is one of the spin-offs, isn't it? I think it's what you call non-scale victories, isn't it? There are other things that happen besides just losing weight. Yes, I've lost weight. And yes, by the way, I've been able to purchase a whole new wardrobe of clothes. And not just once. I've had to do that twice because I've got lower than I expected. And I've just recently bought some more clothing because the rest didn't fit me anymore. But that's great. I could go shopping and have a great time. But the energy thing, now, in fact, I've got a little experience with that I could tell you about. Just to show the contrast, like when I first started with my employer, that was 2010. And I'd been working in Switzerland and living in Switzerland, and I came back to live in UK and started with a new employer. Now, that's not necessarily easy. It can be tiring. You start a new job, you've got new responsibilities. I had to move to a new town. You can kind of get a little bit tired, fatigued, basically. And I remember I started, and the first week I was there, I thought, well, I'll have to walk into the town because I need a new mobile phone. Let me take a walk into the town. It's only like 15 minutes away. So I walked along, and I could see ahead of me a mobile phone shop, which I was making for. And suddenly my energy crashed, just totally crashed. And for some reason, I had to stop. And I thought, you know what? I can't even make it to the mobile phone store. I can't make it. I'm going to have to turn around and crawl back to the office and sit down and rest. And that's what I was forced to do. Now, whether that was a new job or what, I don't know. But I think it was also the fact that I wasn't aware of nutrition, correct nutrition. I wasn't aware of metabolic syndrome, all that kind of stuff. That never left me. I remember thinking, there's something wrong with me. Okay, I'm just getting older. That's the way it is. But you know what? When I think back, that was to do with not eating correctly, eating all day, snacking all day. Energy levels are low. Whereas if I'm fasting, I've got autophagy in play. I'm able to allow my body. And ketosis. I'm able to allow my body the time it needs to do the cellular repair and recovery and give me the energy because it doesn't have to think about processing food.
Exactly. You know, so many people will say something like, well, I need to eat because I need my energy. Well, the digestion takes so much energy. I mean, I always use the analogy of lions. You know, look at lions after the kill, lions after they feast. Then do they go out and run? No, they lie down, they sleep. they sleep it off. We had a cat one time that ate a lizard. She ate the whole lizard except for the head because the head was right there beside her. And after she ate that lizard, she slept the whole rest of the day.
Yeah, sure. We have to process the food, yeah.
Which takes all of our energy. So, but when we're fasting, we have the great energy. We are in the process of moving right now. I can't wait for this podcast to come out because I will be done with the moving. But, you know, we're packing up our whole lives here in Georgia and moving to South Carolina. I have great endurance for all the packing and all the moving and all the box hauling. And, you know, I actually, you can see it, the listeners can't, but look at my arm muscle.
Look at that. That's
I impressive. Know, because I'm doing all this in the fasted state. I'm lifting heavy things all the time. I can actually see my muscles are becoming more defined now that I'm actually, you know, moving them a little more than normal with the work. But, you know, I can't imagine not doing it in the fasted state.
Yeah, exactly. It's more efficient. Now, I've got a couple who are listening to my advice. They've been asking me how I'm doing this. And so I discussed it with them, went to their home, discussed it. And the fact that you've mentioned muscles has reminded me of this. So the wife said to me, well, I can't ask my husband to do OMAD or intermittent fasting because he'll have muscle wastage. And I couldn't possibly allow him to waste away. And I remember saying, our bodies are far more intelligent than that. Our bodies will never eat muscle before we take away all of the stored calories that our body has. And even a slim person will have at least 70,000 calories in fat storage in their body. And it's not going to go away and start eating muscle. It would take you months to get through of not eating to get through all of that stored energy that the body has.
Now, I will say that let's imagine someone is not fasting clean and they're keeping their insulin high all day long. And we know that insulin, if insulin is high, it kind of locks away the fat stores and your body can't access it very well. In that scenario, I can imagine your body can't get to the fat very well because insulin is high. Then you might actually, your body be like, I got to get energy from somewhere. But if we're fasting clean, insulin is low, our body is really able to access those fat stores. So I think the clean fast is really, you know, the magic right there for keeping insulin low, unlocking our fat stores, and preventing the muscle wasting that we really don't want to have happen.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You know, I love the analogy Jason Fung gives about the, you know, your body burning. What's your body going to burn? And it's like if it was a cold day and you needed to start a fire, would you use the firewood or would you chop up your sofa? I mean, which would you do? You're like, I'm going to use the firewood. That's what it's there for. And that was not my analogy. That was Jason Fung, but it's perfect. Now, if you're firewood is locked up in a cage with a, you know, a lock that you can't get into, that would be like high insulin, then you wouldn't be able to access your firewood. But you need, you know, the insulin low, it's unlocked, you get to it, boom. Our bodies are not stupid. I even heard somebody say they were told by, I don't know, some medical professional that if you do fasting, it's going to eat up your heart muscle. I'm like, that would be like the last thing your body would do.
Absolutely. Well, that's a great analogy. I'm going to go back and see that couple because they do have a log store actually outside, and that would be great to repeat that to them. Yeah, it would be great. And therefore, at the end of all of this, I have great energy. You know, I'm not a young guy, but I don't experience that brain fog or that downer energy period during middle of the afternoon like I used to get at work sitting at the desk. I have much more mental clarity now at my age than I did when I was a young man. So it's working really well for me. That's something that's not just the weight loss, but it's the health benefits that I'm seeing.
What other health benefits have you seen? I know you talked about no brain fog, no afternoon crash, but have you had any other health benefits that are more concrete that you have?
I have. Yeah, I have indeed. I can tell you. One of them I expected and one of them I didn't expect at all. And I'm astonished by it. So the one I expected was my sleep. I heard people say that this would improve your sleep. Now, you know, many people have problems with sleeping, don't they? And I think over the years, I've probably had some sleep deprivation. I haven't slept well or I was awake in the middle of the night. Basically, I wouldn't get enough sleep. And I think I was probably running on 6 hours sleep, which is really not enough, perhaps 7 at times. Since I've been doing the OMAD, the intermittent fasting, that doesn't happen anymore. All right, I may not sleep all night, but the total sleep, I can guarantee 8 hours.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Which is absolutely awesome. I absolutely love it. 8 hours, I feel wonderful. I feel alive. I get up, I go for a walk immediately. I've got a canal here near me, some waterway, the ducks and the geese and swans. Get outside, walk, feeling great after 8 hours sleep. Well, several times I've had 9, I'm like, 9 hours? Twice I've had 10. I'm like, come on, you can't sleep for 10 hours. But maybe my body wanted it for those two times and made me do it. I didn't, don't set the alarm. I'm like, okay, I'm very happy with that. Because to me, sleep equates with improving health, that your brain is processing, it's getting rid of toxins, it's building its reserves, it's building its health. It's avoiding risky things like Alzheimer's, perhaps. Quality sleep is really fundamental.
It really is important. I wrote about this in Cleanish that you mentioned that you have but haven't read yet. Sleep is actually a powerful self-cleaning time because you mentioned your brain clearing things out. We have our glymphatic system, not to be confused with the lymphatic system, which runs throughout the body and with our lymphatic fluid, but the glymphatic system is your in your brain. And when we sleep, that really cleans out the things. And you're right, it helps our brain health tremendously. So we need to get that deep, restful sleep.
Sure. I hope that would happen, and it has. And I know it's fundamental to human health, and I'm really happy. That's happening to me every night. I'm getting 8 hours. Really, really happy with that. So that brings me to the next unexpected benefit. And I've been astonished. I didn't even think this would happen. It wasn't even in my expectation. I never thought about it. So I've suffered for the last 25, 30 years with tinnitus.
Okay.
In one ear. Clearly has been worsening with age. I was worried, you know, thinking, well, this is getting quite bad at times. You know, it would come and go. It wasn't like it was a permanent thing, but it would come and go. Sometimes at night it was extremely loud. And I would just think, well, this is just something that happens to humans as you get older. And I know there's no cure for that. I'll just have to just put up with it and hope it doesn't bother me too much in life. Okay, I was getting along like that. You know, you get used to this after 25 years. It's just part of your life. You can kind of tune it out almost. But it was still pretty severe at times. Even getting in the shower sometimes, I'd be like, oh, and it would really almost knock me out. About 3-4 months ago, I remember thinking to myself, just a moment, where's the tinnitus? I haven't heard that for a while. And then it came back a little bit, but now I'm monitoring it. I would say my tinnitus is 95%.
Wow.
Gone.
That's amazing.
I'm astonished. And I can only put this down to the effects of improving health by doing intermittent fasting. Intermittent fasting, allowing autophagy to come all night, then a large part of the day. I think it's that. I don't know, of course, but it's a very, very welcome non-scale victory.
That's
life.
Amazing. Chad has tinnitus on occasion, and he finds it's connected to what he eats. Like if he has too much sugar or chocolate, or even like he doesn't get it from dry farm wines, red wines, but he gets it from like a standard red wine. He's like, his ears will start ringing. So certain things. Have you changed your food choices at all, or are the things that you're eating?
I have indeed. So maybe you're onto something there. By the way, I'll say tinnitus if that's the right way.
Well, I think you could say it either way. We're gonna tinnitus
sounds good to me.
Tinnitus.
Yeah, tinnitus.
I could be saying it completely wrong, but I think we might say tinnitus here in America, or maybe everybody's listening saying, "No, Jen, you're saying it wrong." But oh well.
No, I like it your way. I'm gonna do
okay.
That from now on. But yes, you're right. I have. So going on to the intermittent fasting, of course, made me look more closely at my food choices. And when I went to LMAT, I thought, you know what, I can go to keto. I can reduce my carbohydrates. I can increase my healthy fats. I can increase my healthy proteins. And I've done that significantly. In fact, I'm now, I think, probably more on the carnivore diet than anything else.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you're heavily into the meat.
Yeah, it's meat, seafood, dairy, cheeses, eggs, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, people do think when you hear carnivore, it sounds bad, as if you're eating just meat. I'm not. I'm eating a ton of different types of stuff, but it's animal-based eating. That's right, it is. And very little carbs. I do have carbs occasionally. You know, if I go out with friends on a weekend and we're having some carbs, I'm not going to say no. It's absolutely fine. No problem with that at all.
Well, then I want you to start making a connection there and seeing when you find the foods that work really well for your body. Next time you have the tinnitus, see if that was when you had something that you don't normally have to eat and see, because Chad has really made that connection with what
Is
he eats.
Is that right? Well, that's really interesting. Wow.
I mean, he'll be like, well, I shouldn't have had that, whatever it was, because now my ears
Is
are ringing.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to be looking at that.
Well, it's like me with restless legs. You know, when I get, if I have too much sugar, too much, you know, something like that, I get the restless legs. So it's just coming out in a way your body is telling you this is not working for me.
Do you mean that if you had the sugar, you'd get the restless legs?
I get restless
legs that night.
Yes.
That night?
Well, or like when we're sitting, you know, after dinner and it's almost bedtime, we're watching TV together, I'll get the restless legs and it's really hard to sit still. And what I'll do in that case, whenever that happens, I go hop on the vibration plate because the vibration plate takes care of that for me and it gets rid of the restless legs. If I don't do that, then when we get in the bed, I start with the restless legs and I'll fall asleep. But apparently I wiggle a lot because Chad will be like, stop, stop, be still.
Stop,
and I'm like,
okay.
Stop, I'm asleep. I can't tell. But it's funny. It's not everything that causes it. Like, you know, I can eat ice cream and I'm okay. You know, I guess that has enough, you know, the fat with it to keep it from hitting my blood, my blood and being like, you know, huge rise in blood glucose. But certain things would cause it to be more of a problem.
And did you say that wine affects Chad as well for his tinnitus?
It depends on the wine. If he has like a really clean wine, like the kind they have from Dry Farm Wines, he's okay. But we had a bottle of wine that my financial guy gave to us at Christmas time. It was like, here, Merry Christmas, here's some wine. You know, I don't drink that kind of red wine at all. I'm even very careful about Dry Farm red wines because I don't sleep as well with red wines, even if they're really high quality. I do better with whites. But Chad was like, I'm going to drink this wine. And so he opened it and he had just a little tiny bit. And then the next day he had it again and he's like, there go my ears again. So it was two nights in a row. Then we poured the rest of it out because he's I can't drink this wine.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, I just drink red wine just on a weekend. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should monitor that and see just what's happening there.
And you probably have access to cleaner wines over there than we do here because, for example, Dry Farm wines, they don't make wine. They just source it. And there is no American wine that meets their criteria of not having additives. But in Europe, like most of their wine comes from Europe. And so I bet you can get some really clean European wines over there a lot easier than we can.
Yeah, sure. I lived in France a number of years, so French wine is my favorite. Chateauneuf-du-Pape, all this kind of stuff. Very nice, very nice. It's strong, but it's very nice. But I'll certainly monitor that.
See if you can make a connection and see.
Because
that would be life-changing if you realize you could have, 100% improvement if you just can connect it to what's giving you the trouble.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah. So, I'm hoping to bring these suggestions to my clients because by the time I finish my diploma in London at the end of November, I'll be then able to give advice nutritionally as a health coach. A lot of people, of course, are looking for that. A lot of people in USA, same as UK, people go to see their GP, their doctor, and they want some nutritional advice, but they can't get it. And so they're looking for people who can then give that extra coaching on how to improve their health by nutrition. So that's what I'm hoping to do.
And so I imagine you're going to use intermittent fasting with your clients.
Well, yeah, exactly. I'm not going to keep that quiet. I've got to perhaps review how you say that because you're not finding it. If you say intermittent fasting, some people react in horror at that.
Not
phrase.
Anymore. Not so much. What I'll find is I will get some people when I'll talk to them, like out on the street, just someone that I meet that doesn't know me, and I'll mention intermittent fasting, and they'll say, oh, I tried that and it didn't work. That would be like you going back to that struggle that you had with 5-2, and if you had never tried it again, you might say, yeah, I tried that and I hated it. And you're basing all of your thoughts on that time when you were doing it. Of course, you weren't fasting clean. You were trying.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, they tried it and they always either weren't fasting clean or they didn't give it enough time. And so people might have that experience that you have to overcome. And you're like, well, I can explain to you why it was hard, and you can try it again. So just keep that in mind if people give you pushback, because that's the biggest thing I've found. Oh, yeah, I tried that and it didn't work.
Okay.
And I'm like, all right, well, tell me what you were drinking. They always say, well, I was having, Powerade Zero. And I'm like, there you go.
Okay, that's a good tip. Yeah.
Yeah. That's my best tip for you. For everybody who's listening, ask them what they were drinking. They're like, well, I heard you could put almond milk in your coffee, so I did. I'm like, well, there you go. I mean, it's always
there
something.
You
can't.
Go,
that's food. Don't have food.
Sure, exactly. Yeah.
So we are almost out of time. What would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
Okay. Yeah, I think that's fairly obvious for me. When I first started and I first learned about it, I was scared. I thought, no, it's just, this is going to be so hard. I already decided in my mind, I'll never be able to do this. But if I had just but known, I would actually quickly, once I started real intermittent fasting, not be scared at all. I would actually come to love it. I absolutely love it. I feel so well doing it. That's what I would tell somebody. Look, you're going to feel so well. If you feel bad right now because you've got some issues with, I don't know, diabetes or whatever, you're going to feel great. Don't worry about it. You will feel great and you will understand. You'll be saying to yourself, welcome to my new life. That's what it will be. Welcome to my new lifestyle. And that's what I say to myself. So yeah, that's my advice. Don't be scared. Be happy. This is going to be great.
And it'll change your life.
Exactly. Sure.
Well, David, I have so enjoyed talking to you, and thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you, Jen. My pleasure.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's GIN@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.